When a runner trips and falls, the competitors run on by. Until the coach arrives, he or she bears the pain of defeat alone. During his severe trials, Job of old underwent great pain, yet he found little comfort from his three friends. He bore that pain alone, even in the midst of others. His experience teaches us how to really be there when a friend is in need. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues his series, God, Why Me?, by concluding his message, When Comfort is Discomfort. Our focus, how to be a true friend.
What I'd like to do now is to give you some advice that I have learned and that the book of Job would want to teach us regarding how to comfort people who are going through distress so that your comfort will not be discomfort. So that the person whom you visit in the hospital, when you say to them, is there any way that I can help you, they will not be tempted to say, yes, please leave. And that might be the way in which you could help me the most right now. Number one, we must feel people's pain. Just feel their pain. I have this all the time. People say to me, you know, the most difficult thing to endure at a funeral are the glib, thoughtless comments that are made oftentimes at the wake or at the funeral by well-meaning people who quote verses of Scripture and even say good things. They'll say to this widow whose heart is so broken and shattered, well, isn't it wonderful that he's better off? Well, yeah, he is better off. But it's the unfeeling, careless way that it is said that just is like a dagger into that dear woman's heart. Your first responsibility is to feel their pain. Christ is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, the Bible says, and that's why he makes such a good high priest. And that's why the best person to minister to someone who has been abused is someone who has been abused but who has worked through it and has seen God in the midst of the abuse. And that's why the best person to help an alcoholic is someone who himself once was an alcoholic but now is out of that lifestyle. Why? Because then you get the feeling that this person has been through it. But we don't have to have all these experiences to comfort people. We just need to feel their pain. There are some people in the congregation here this morning as I look out whom I know your pains because you have shared them with me, and I consider the sharing of your pain with me a very sacred trust. One day, Joe Bailey, who lost three sons, and some of you have read his books, and he himself now has been reconciled with his sons in heaven. He died a few years ago. When his 19-year-old son died, Joe Bailey, I'm told, was coming down an elevator, and on that elevator there was a nurse. And the nurse said to him with tears in her eyes, oh, Mr. Bailey, I wish I could say something that would make it better. And he looked at her and said, You already have. The tears in her eyes already communicated more than any words of wisdom could possibly communicate. We must always feel their pain. Secondly, we must accept the ambiguity. Somehow I like that word, ambiguity. Let me say it again. We have to accept the ambiguity of God's will and purposes. Now you're going to say, well, is there a purpose for Job having suffered? Yes, there is a purpose. It's not the purpose you probably think, but there is going to be a purpose. And believe me, I'm not going to share that with you today. I want you to be around at the end of this book. But the fact is that the older I get, the more ambiguous God's ways sometimes are, and sometimes they keep making less and less sense to me. And we have to be comfortable with that. Somebody comes to me and says, well, Pastor, I'm going through this trial. Is it because of some sin that I committed? Am I being disciplined for the sin? Or what is its purpose? And I have to say, I don't know. Because the older I get, the more amazed I am at how few things God runs by me first before he does them in the world. And we must not be so quick and so glib as to think that we have found God's hidden purpose in all that is happening. Now, there is an explosive purpose, which will, as I mentioned, be explained in a future message. But God's ways are past finding out. I mean, how do you explain young people dying of a disease and older people who want to die being unable to die? And how do you explain missionaries dying in their youth who want to go to the mission field and they get a disease and they die? And we know that God could have kept them alive because missionaries are needed. I mean, how do you figure all that out? One of the things we need to do is to be very cautious as to what we say so that we don't fall into the condemnation there of Job. Getting back to this business of feeling their pain and accepting the ambiguity of God's purposes, the second funeral I ever conducted in my life was of a young woman who died at the age of 21, falling off a bicycle, hitting her head, and she was gone. And to this day, the autopsy is ambiguous. They never did discover whether it was the falling off the bicycle that caused the death or whether something already happened and she died and then fell off the bicycle. But she was brain dead, and eventually they took her off all these support systems. And Rebecca and I were there from about 7 in the evening to about midnight with the family on the evening that it happened. And we sat there and cried with them and read scripture with them. And years and years later, whenever that couple would see us, they would thank us for that evening. And they would always say, "You had so much wisdom in what you shared." And I often wondered, I used to say to Rebecca, "I wonder what I said that was so great. I should have recorded it and written it down." You know, because apparently there was a moment of wisdom there. Probably. It was not so much that was said, it was the feelings that we communicated. First of all, you feel their pain. Secondly, accept the ambiguity of God's purposes. Thirdly, realize that unanswered questions lead to ultimate questions. Unanswered questions lead to ultimate questions. We're going to be demonstrating that in the book of Job in the next message, and particularly, I think, in the fourth or fifth message of the series. We are going to see how that really, when you begin to try to work through this whole process of try to find out God's ambiguous ways, when you try to work through the process, what you begin to do is to come down to some very, very essential questions, namely a person's relationship with God. For example, Job is going to ask questions like this: how can a man be right before God? Now, that's an essential question. We might not figure God out, but if we could only know how we could be right before him, why, that might be part of the answer. Job is going to ask another question that we're going to deal with in a future message. If a man die, shall he live again? Well, that's interesting, because if the answer to that question is yes, then there's the possibility that someday God will make up for us in eternity future what we could not understand in this mortal life of time. And consequently, what we need to do is to recognize the fact that we are led, therefore, to some ultimate questions. In fact, one of the most obvious purposes of suffering, one of the most obvious is that in kicking all of the props away, what we find is people leaning on God. Now, maybe God isn't doing all the things that they should think he should be doing. He is not answering all the prayers that they would like to see him answer. But one of the things that suffering does do is it closes our other options that we might seek God. And having been comforted of God, as the scripture reading indicated, we then are able to comfort others. When I was thinking of God's comfort, I was reminded of the fact that in the upper room discourse, where Jesus is talking to his disciples before he goes to heaven, he says, When I go to heaven, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And you know that the Greek word there for Holy Spirit is parakaleo. That's the verb form, at least. It means to call along the side of. And our translators translate it in many different ways. It has many different meanings. But one of the most popular ways to translate it is to say comforter. I am going to send you another comforter who will abide with us forever. He will guide you into all truth. He will be there. Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. What is it that you need in your particular trial today? No matter what that trial is, you need two things. First, you need a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, namely Jesus Christ. Because it is through Christ that we are reconciled to God. It is through Christ that we receive the other comforter. We walk through our trial with God. We walk through our trial with God. That's the first thing that you need. And that's maybe why God brought you here today, by the way, because that is the essential point that you need. The second is, you do need a human friend who knows all about you and who will stick with you. Woman, single mother, child on drugs, all of the things that are so difficult for people to deal with, said, I think I could make it if I had just one friend. Just one friend. What she meant was a friend who would really be a friend. And that's the way God has ordained it. He has ordained it, first of all, that he would be our friend, that he would walk with us, that the Comforter would abide with us forever, and then that within the body of Christ, within a place like Moody Church, in a safe place like here where we're all sinners and we know it, and we are all hurting and we know it, we find that God leads us to others who will walk with us through that experience, and at the end know that someday the sun will again shine, probably in this life, most assuredly in the life to come. Bottom line, let us be comforted of God, that we in turn might be the comforters that we should be.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I'd like to tell you a story which perhaps you've already heard me tell, about a woman whose husband died very suddenly. She was madly in love with her husband. They had a wonderful life together. And when he died, she felt so destitute, in such despair, such depression and hopelessness, that she herself wanted to die and actually contemplated suicide so that she could die and be with her husband in heaven. When she came to me for counsel, I made her a promise. I said, I want you to live 1 year, one day at a time, and I do promise you that someday the sun will shine again. Well, I often see that woman now years later, and I ask her, is the sun shining? And she says, yes, the sun is shining. Keep going, my friend. Your despair will lead to hope, and God is with you.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. You've heard Erwin Lutzer concluding When Comfort is Discomfort, another message in his series, God, Why Me?, taken from the life of Job. On Monday, tune in as we really feel Job's pain. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This 8-part series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about God, Why Me? Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us Monday for The Size of a Suffering Soul on our next Running to Win.